Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
LMFM Sunday Sport.
With thanks to the LMFM app. Download for free now and take us with you everywhere you go.
I'm joined in studio by John Flanagan. He's been with us since just after 3 o'clock, and we'll be here for another little while yet as well. John, we were just chatting before the ad break about your love of Manchester United and everything else. When I was looking this morning for a photograph of you from to put up on social media, I found one from 1996 with Drogheda.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that John Flanagan? But yeah, it looked like a maroon version of the famous grey Manchester United shirt that they wore when they changed
it. I know the picture, yeah.
Yeah, and you're only a fresh-faced young fella, that's safe. 96, what age would you have been then?
96, I think I was in sixth year when I made my debut. I think I was 17.
Right.
17, yeah. I remember that there was a couple of us. It was a great area for the town that year. There was our own Drogheda boys under 18s and the year below us that had won. They won the FAI Junior Cup, FAI Cup the year after. But there was seven or eight young lads from that team went on to the first team that year. I think it was under Anto Whelan and Liam O'Brien.
Right.
And we got promoted that year. But it was great amount of talent in the town, and that's why it's a shame you don't see it as much at the moment.
Mm.
Because there is so much talent in this town if it can be harnessed correctly, which I know they're working hard to try and do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that picture's at home on Mam's wall. I know the one you're talking to.
Yeah, and I actually had to look at it twice because I wasn't sure if it was you or not, but I saw in the small print underneath it was John Flanagan. I was like, there he was as a young lad. And like, you know, so you started with Drogheda. Obviously, people are probably more associated with Dundalk. But so for people that aren't kind of aware, you might just give us a little kind of a quick overview of your career. Galway have gotten it back to a point, by the way, in Croke Park with 4 minutes to go. So you started with Drogheda, and how did it go from there?
Yeah, we started, I suppose, underage with Drogheda. I suppose we go back just to on the under-18s, and that year there was Jim McLaughlin was in charge of the first team, and he used to bring a couple of lads just training every week just to be with the first team. And it was myself and Alan Murphy that year who went on to play with Longford and Shelburne and that, and we kind of got our debuts, played with the reserves, and then the following year there was six or seven young locals in the first team. We got promoted that year, and then the following year there was a lot of us let go. We kind of brought it off back in the time when a lot of, we say, experienced players from in the league always kind of swept in. And I went down on loan to Home Farm Everton for the year. I enjoyed that. And then from there, I went to Dundalk. And Dundalk for a good while. I think it was 4 or 5 seasons at that stage. And we again got promoted. And what happened then? Went back to Drogheda for 2 years when they were in the Premier Division under Harry McHugh and at the year Paul Doolan. But they went full time, and I obviously have been teaching away, so didn't want to give up the career, so I went back to Dundalk again.
Right.
And the same thing happened, obviously, then we coped another 4 years, I think it was 9 seasons with Dundalk in total, so right. 4 more, won the first division, and they were turning full time again, so I was at 31, 32 at that stage, and getting plenty of injuries, so I just said, enough's enough, I haven't the body to go full time, so yeah. I retired.
Right, at 31.
I think it was 31 or 32,
right, okay.
Yeah, 13 years in the League of Ireland, yeah.
Right, okay. And because I know you would have crossed paths with Paul Crowley, right? Because Paul would be doing club cons with me.
Paul's a legend. Played a couple of years with Paul. He's definitely someone that you want on your side. If you're in the trenches, and as we were in those days in the first division, Paul's someone you wanted. He's a great footballer, great leader, led by example. He scored plenty of important goals and more important, great lad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great lad. And I know when I packed it in, he came to Drogheda then, and he still had a couple of good years in him there, and he'd done really, really good work for Drogheda as well. So
yeah. And more than yourself on analysis with Adrian every week, I suppose yourself and him and myself and Paul are kind of embedded in now on the respective home games for Drogheda and Dundalk. And you're obviously an expert analyst at this point. You're well used to picking stuff out. But the thing I found with Paul, especially at the beginning when I was sort of starting to get to know him, we were working together, he would, you know, the obvious stuff we can all see, but he would spot things that I wouldn't see, that most people wouldn't see, and he'd point it out, and then you'd notice it again and again, and you'd go, you know, I didn't really see that. He's got a great kind of brain for the game.
I have. And in fairness to him, he went on and he educated himself. He'd done a great job locally managing, and then he went on and done his UEFA B licence. I think he's studying for his A. He really developed himself, and he's a very good coach. And as you said, in this stand, sometimes you can kind of see that from a player's perspective, well, they're that position, they're a bit out there, they should be tighter tucked around here, or they should be making the runs from here to here. And as you said, when it's pointed out to you, you're going, yeah, I see it now.
Yeah.
Whereas you just, probably from being in that position so many times yourself, you understand it. But Paul, he's a great way of getting that message across as well.
Yeah, no, he's a really good lad for that. And you're enjoying the weekly co-com job with Adrian. I know you have to put up with Adrian Taff, but other than that,
I have to give him his kudos. He's great. I rock up and we just talk football for a couple of hours, but he no more than yourself. It's serious work behind the scenes that goes into that. That research, especially since it's gone LOI as well as LMFM, with interviews and research and stats, and there's hours and hours that people don't see. The likes of myself and Paul, we just rock up and you have all that in front of you.
Easy.
Yeah, we definitely have the easy part. But you know, Adrian's great and utter professional, but I'm loving it. It's great, and it's a great way of keeping involved and going to games, because you could be sitting at home on a Friday after work, I don't fancy going to that game tonight, but then it gets you out the door and it keeps you involved, and you're talking to people, you're meeting players you used to play with, or a lot of them some are managers now, and you're just talking to people. It's a great way to keep involved, and basically, like us all, we all love talking crap about football for a couple of hours. It's great.
And the thing about it, like, I mean, we obviously, and this is by no means an ad for LOI TV or anything like that, because LMFM have long since been home and away at all the games, and we continue to do that. And the online broadcast for games now are massive, and we've got a huge amount of people listening every week as well. But to think that a couple of years ago, prior to COVID, I suppose, if you wanted to watch a League of Ireland match, you would have to have gone along to it on a Friday evening. Now you can get your pass, you can pay for a game. And the way the things have come on so much, it's great. And it's, like, I know I was chatting to Mark Scanlon a little while ago about this, and, you know, the standards have obviously gone up a lot. I think it's like anything. I remember when Drogheda were in the first division when they started streaming games first, and this was prior to LOI TV. The clubs were all doing this off their own steam.
Yeah.
And at first, people were just glad to be able to see the matches. Then it was like, oh, there's no replays. Oh, there's no clock in the top corner of the screen. Yeah. And so it goes. And then the latest thing, I suppose, is that, you know, commentary teams are biased against the team, the away team, and people are like, you know what I mean? So the longer these things go on, more and more faults will be found. But in terms of being able to watch matches, and I think, in fairness, it's only the odd few people you'll have complaining by and large, but for anyone, a Derry supporter, for example, a couple of weeks ago, could watch the Drogheda game without having to come down the road for it. Yeah. And, you know, okay, they can always listen to their local radio stations as well, as we would do here. But to have that facility now, and the fact that it took a pandemic for that to come about now is kind of strange. But it's a great departure, and it's great exposure for the league as well.
Oh, it's fabulous. I mean, credit to Mark and his team, that they're really putting the league forward, because it's been said, there's a great product there. It just needed to be marketed correctly. And I think you've just come back to your initial point. The fact LMFM have always been their traditional route and have obviously done such a good job, that now they've just been absorbed into LOI, that we're going, you have a great product, we're going to take that and we're going to use it too. But it is fantastic. And I suppose the big worry at the time was it's going to affect attendances. People aren't going to go to games anymore. And then they kind of had to try it in the pandemic, because there was no option. But even now this year, attendances are through the roof. Every club in the league, their attendances are up 20, 25, 30%. And still the LOI is selling past. It's fantastic. I mean, you're probably the same. I know we get tweets every week from people all over the world who are delighted watching matches. It could be 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Chicago, or 2 o'clock in the morning in Dubai. Or there's always someone you're really jealous of sending you a picture. I'm watching this here somewhere on the beach or something.
Yeah.
But it's showcasing what we have, and it is evolving.
Yeah.
And the standards, like everything else, the standards have gone up.
Yeah.
I mean, we've gone away from those pixel art cameras and to one camera, to now you have two cameras and you've comm teams. And I think, in fairness, the criticism, I've read a bit of that about the biasness, I think most of them are trying to be professional and trying to give genuine opinions and not trying to lean one way or the other. I don't think, again, we're plugging ourselves, I don't think either yourselves or myself and Adrian have received that criticism.
No, and I think I wouldn't really ever go looking, but I do remember a couple of weeks ago, I think it might have been the Derry game, and I saw some guy had replied to the Derry tweet saying, oh, he was a Derry fan, and he was like, oh, you know, I often be critical of the commentators, but the two Drogheda lads tonight were excellent.
Yeah.
But then underneath that was like, no, they weren't, they were awful. So, you know,
you can't win them all.
You have to take one with the other. But yeah, look, I think everyone is doing a very good job on that. But just the way that it's come along, as you said there, and again as well, RTE obviously have their allocation of matches, but Virgin Media have jumped in and shown a couple of matches of late as well. I think RTE actually had the Shelburne Bows game on Friday night, which is probably the worst game of the evening in terms of how it turned out, but you're gonna get that. But for myself, I suppose, like, I feel like a little bit of a fraud sometimes, because if you asked me 5 years ago, I wouldn't have even been able to tell you who was in the Premier Division, who the champions were, because I would have come up from a GA background and not really have had any interest in the League of Ireland.
Yeah.
And then I started working in the station. Obviously, I'm here a bit longer than that, but you're out covering matches. And it's amazing how quickly, you know, you develop a love for it. Like any of us that love sport. But, you know, to be friends of mine down in Avon, I'd say to them, you should come along to a Drogheda match, you know, some evening. And they'd be kind of nearly looking at you funny, yeah. Like, you know. And I still think there's a bit of the kind of the county border sort of element going on there, particularly for people that are from a GAA background. Like, sure, why would I be going up to Louth to watch a game or crossing over into the, you know, from going into, for me then to, why, me don't have a team, so why would I support? But, you know, for me that's been going to the matches now for 6-7 years or whatever, it doesn't take very long before, you know, you don't even think about the standard now, because the standard I think is really good, but it's not like you're going along and you're expecting Premier League football. You don't think of it that way. You know, you go along, you watch the game, there's going to be some good games, there's going to be some bad games, some great play, some not so good play. But I'm never at a game where I think that the standard here is awful. Like, you have good games, you have bad games. And if people are going along with Premier League in their mind, that's probably not the way to do it. But I don't think when you're at a game, any game, like if you're at a Junior A football match in Meath or in Louth, you're watching it and you're taking it as on its merits, as Johnny Giles would say, you're watching what's in front of you, and you'll get a good game, you'll get a bad game. But I think the standard, and I don't know, you've been around the league a lot longer than I have, and you're watching the games a lot longer than me, but the standard at the minute, I think, is really, really good. And, you know, we only have to point to the Drogheda goal a couple of weeks ago against Shamrock Rovers to see the standard of play there. And I sent it on to a few mates of mine who wouldn't be into the League of Ireland at all, and they were just a great goal, you know. But from your point of view, having been watching the league for so long now, where do you think it's at standard-wise? Do you think it's been kind of going up and up and up now, or is this comparable to when, I suppose, the peak for Drogheda, say, in the mid-2000s, when there was a lot of money floating around the league? How do you look at it now?
I think overall the league is definitely a higher standard than it has been. I mean, you just got to look, and I think it probably has been helped with the likes of Brexit happening, and an awful lot of young lads can't go to England anymore, and they're staying at home and they're developed. But you've got to look at the amount of effort and finances and resources the clubs are putting in now. All these underage academies, structures are there, so players are getting better, develop better training. The majority of the teams are full-time professionals, so the standard's going up. I mean, Drogheda have probably been the exception, but they're probably still training. I don't know, you might know better. I mean, they're probably still training 4 or 5 nights a week between match nights. I know when we were part-time at Drogheda, we were in Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. I mean, there's still 5 days a week as a part-time player.
Yeah, the part-time thing is something that kind of grates, I think, on the likes of Kevin Doherty, where it's like, we're part-time because lads are working, but we're still training. And look, you only have to watch Drogheda. You said it yourself off air, the fitness levels. So, like, if they weren't training regularly, they wouldn't be at that level.
I think you're doing them a disservice calling them part-time players. I mean, maybe if you wanted to call them players with other jobs, maybe, but that's it. But they're as professional as anybody else. Their fitness levels have to be. I mean, if they weren't, they wouldn't be competing. They wouldn't be there. But I think as an overall package, the league is definitely a higher standard. What we say, it's spread out a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, you had Drogheda, as you said, in their pomp, but they were head and shoulders above everybody else. Yeah. You had Shelburne and Bowes had their times, and Dundalk had, but there was always one team streets ahead. But now anybody can beat anybody. Yeah. It just showed on Friday night.
Yeah.
Because every team has quality. Every team has players with that X factor. There's players coming back from England. It was unheard of.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when I was playing for 13 years, there was maybe 3 or 4 lads, and they were kind of these marquee signings of players. Carlton Palmer came back, I remember playing for Home Farm. The lads were past it. They were kind of this tokenistic thing. But you have players coming back now trying to make a name for themselves to go back to England, to further their careers. It's great. There is a good product there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take another quick commercial break, back with more from John Flanagan in a moment. You're welcome back to LMFM Sunday Sport. David Sheen with you until 5 o'clock. I can tell you, Galway, having been 12 points behind against Dublin early in the second half in Croke Park, have dug out a draw in that one. So they will advance to the Leinster final. And it's now all square between Wexford and Kilkenny. It's Kilkenny 5-17, Wexford 4-20. Remember, Wexford need a draw or a win in that game to stay in the Liam McCarthy for next year. So as things stand, they will. But that game is swinging this way and that, so still plenty of time for twists and turns in that one. John Flanagan still with me, as I said. John, let's look at the League of Ireland season so far. We're at the halfway point pretty much at this stage. Dundalk, you're watching them most weeks. A disappointing result on Friday night. And the thing, I suppose, that came out of that game was the squad and Stephen O'Donnell and everybody were back in the dressing room for about an hour and 20 minutes after the game, or thereabouts. Anyway, Adrian was texting us about 11:15 saying he was still hanging on for the interview, and a few other journalists were there as well, and it was reported in the paper. Stephen O'Donnell, you know, was very quick to mention that it wasn't a ranting and raving session. Obviously, we could only speculate as to what was being said, but have you ever been kept back in a dressing room after a game for, not maybe for that length of time, but for 20 minutes or half an hour, or for what they would call an inquest after a game?
Yeah, we've been held back a couple of times over the years, but I tell you, there was plenty of ranting and raving and plenty of fighting, and you're kind of wondering, especially with a team like Dundalk, that if it's not a toys out of pram by Stephen O'Donnell, or it's not a full-on argument, I think, what's the point in it? I mean, they were probably in yesterday morning for a cool-down session. They've plenty of facilities in the club, media rooms, this meeting room, that all that can be done then, if it's just a discussion. I'm sure he wasn't happy at all, because the one thing about Stephen, he was a warrior, he was a battler, he was a serial winner. And that's what seemed to me to be lacking on Friday night, was just that bit of steel, that bit of fight. And I'm sure he wasn't happy with how the game finished. And I'm sure he went in, and I wouldn't say he's won maybe for throwing cups or kicking chairs, but I'd say there was a few home truths later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Dead.
Yeah, and I mean, we were talking about it earlier as well when you came in before we went on air, and I was looking at the final game last season against Derry, and okay, Dave McMillan's obviously retired, Runa Hauge is gone, Joe Adams is gone, McCarry is gone, Gartland, as we know, retired. Who else was in there? Manuel Adegboyega, who's been brilliant for Drogheda, was on the bench. Stephen Bradley was on the bench, he's gone. So you have a bit of a turnover in players, obviously, but then you've got injuries to Andy Boyle and Louis Annesley, who you mentioned started the first game of the season at centre-back, and you thought they were going to be a really solid partnership. They've both been injured. Greg Sloggett's been out. John Mountney, obviously, long-term. A few players in on loan, a few new signings. And I suppose the thing that I mentioned to you earlier as well is, if everybody was available, and Stephen O'Donnell hasn't had a full hand to pick from really for a lot of this season, but would you be able to name the best Dundalk 11 yourself? You're watching them a lot.
I think, to be honest, it's a tough one. It's definitely tough, because of some players, they're not the finished articles. I know I've said it, lots of people have said it about recruitment, and I think what they're trying to say there is that in order for Dundalk to be challenging for titles or even for Europe, you need players to hit the ground running, where due to circumstances, whether financial and constraints, they've had to bring in player prospects that will develop, and I think some of them have proven already with the running games that they're very good. But there has to be a bit of where you feel sorry for Stephen. He came in at the start of last season and had to start from scratch. And he done really well, got them into Europe this year. But it's a huge... He started from scratch again.
Yeah.
And even from that position, I mean, you're taking Andy Boyle and John Mountney out of your back four, and that's your... They're your two leaders. You're probably going to hang your coat on them too. Greg Sloggett is his leader in the middle. Pat Hooven was missing for a long time, who's the talisman of the whole club. And some of these players come in, they're young, they haven't had an awful lot of senior football, so they might be good this week, they'll be average next week. It's a bedding in process, and you've got to develop partnerships. And that's why I said that Louis Ainsley played one game at left back, and he looked alright. Next week he goes in and he played beside Andy Boyle, and he looked fantastic. That partnership, that could be very, very good. They'll develop. But then, God love me, he got sick and he's out for a long time. And then Hayden Muller's in, and then Waziri Williams is in, And they haven't had time to gel. So you don't know how players are going to actually bond together or develop partnerships all around the park. So I don't know whether Stephen... I don't know the best 11 at Dundalk, which I don't know enough of the players and how they play together.
Yeah.
But when you're missing... I do feel sorry for him. You're missing Andy Boyle, Mountney, Sloggett, Hope, all the ones who are, as you said, the core. I mean, Drogheda, we mentioned again, Drogheda have that core of lads that drive on the standards. You feel for him.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at the table, so we're 18 games in, so we're at the halfway point really in the season. 26 points from their 18 games. They're 3 points back from St. Pat's. They're only 4 back from Bohemians, who, you know, have started the season really well. The last month for Bose hasn't been great, and it's starting to look like Derry and Shamrock Rovers will be the two again to beat. But the way the season has gone, it's been so topsy-turvy. Drogheda beat Shamrock Rovers a couple of weeks ago. They hadn't won Drogheda prior to that before, or since they beat Derry away. So their last two wins before the UCD game come against the two top teams. You know, Derry then go down to... Well, Cork beat Rovers on Friday. Derry then have an opportunity to open a 4-point gap yesterday in Sligo. They get beaten 1-0. So it's a very tumultuous season. And, you know, Dundalk had that 4-game winning run there, and they kind of came off the rails a little bit since then. But everyone's beaten everyone. All it takes is a little bit of a run of form and you're back in contention. And as you said there, get a couple of injuries back and a bit more of a settled lineup. So it's far from all doom and gloom from Dundalk. And as you said... Yeah. The turnover from last year. I think it was towards the end of last season where only two players had been signed at that stage, and there was a little bit of uncertainty around. So, you know, it's far from, you know, as I say, doom and gloom for Dundalk.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen say he's trying not to focus on the week by week picture. He's looking at the development of the team, the club, the whole structure in a long term view. And I suppose if you look at it in isolation, previous to the winning 4 games in a row, they'd lost 3 in a row. So it's very, very topsy-turvy. And we mentioned again, if you're not on your game on any particular day, anybody in that division can beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, Drogheda suffered. And the thing with Drogheda, they haven't got a hammering. They're always in every game, really. And then they've gone and beaten the two best clubs in the league. Mm. I think Rovers and Derry were always seen as the front runners. I think people maybe expect them to be further ahead at this point. Like, Rovers started very slowly. Did they win one out of the first 4 or 5 games?
I think it was seven, was it? One, yeah.
But then they've gone and won 6 in a row or something, and then they got beaten, obviously, a couple. But it seems to be a tighter league than we expected. So, from a Dundalk perspective, first of all, I think there will be ups and downs. I think if they get that settled team back and they get everybody back, there'll be a bit more structure, there'll be a bit more consistency with it. And hopefully, come the end of the season, that they're knocking on that door for Europe. But again, they have European games that's going to come towards the end of the summer, where you're going to need that bigger squad, where you're going to need the resources, and you can do without the injuries. Drogheda, I think Drogheda's performances, I feel, are very, very consistent. I think the one thing, we mentioned it earlier on, the one thing that Kev can rely on every week is every one of his players will give everything. They'll go out in the sword from every week. And they have some serious quality. That goal you mentioned, I watched it myself. If that was in the Premier League, they'd be raving about it. It was as good. And I almost got one similar later on in the game. The chip was just over the bar. So if Drogheda, and I've said this at the start, and I'll hang my coat on it, if Drogheda can keep that core of players there, they will have no issues staying up this year.
Mm. And you would have seen them against Dundalk at Oriel, where you would have been doing it with Adrian. I was watching it on LOITV, and honestly, I kind of knocked it off early in the second half. They were 2-0 down. Gary Deegan had just got sent off. It wasn't looking great. Then the next thing, they're back 2-2, and Dundalk score a late winner. But again, even on that winning run at Dundalk run, they weren't playing great, but they were getting the results. But and I suppose, again, from Drogheda's point of view, the opposite. They were playing well, they weren't getting the results. And then on Friday, they didn't play great against UCD, but they got the win, and Kevin wasn't really too concerned about how they got it. But the thing that Kevin has said after most games, they haven't been playing well, they haven't been getting the results, but his kind of mantra is, we can't afford to not be at our peak, because if we aren't at 100%, you know, at 100% they'll be competitive, but if they're anything below that, they could get the beating that you suggested they haven't had yet, but that's where they're kind of at. So maybe that spurs these lads on, but they, as you said, consistency is the word for that. The performances are very consistent, the results always haven't come, but for what they're working off, and I mentioned to you the Shamrock Rovers match, Adam Foley was the only senior player on the bench, so so many injuries and a few suspensions like most teams do, but they're working off a much smaller squad, so what they're doing, as you're saying so far, is quite impressive. And you're confident enough they'll be okay if they keep going the way they're going.
Yeah, and I mean, we mentioned it already, Kevin. I mean, he's a lovely guy. He's a great guy to talk to. And when you're interviewing, he's very honest. He's very open. He says it as it is. But the one thing, he seems to just instill that will to win in them. And even if it's not going well for them, as you mentioned, that game in Dundalk and Gary got sent off, they all just dug in. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, there was no strops, there was no one, we've lost our leader here. They all roll up the sleeves, they got stuck in and they battle, and hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And to me, that's Drogheda and Dundalk at the minute for me.
Yeah.
Where Dundalk probably, on paper, maybe have the better squad or the more ability, but they seem to be wanting to play nice football, and they're missing a little bit of steel, that bit of nastiness, you know, kind of. But Drogheda never ever lacking in the work rate or the effort department.
Not that I want to in any way associate Gary Deegan with the word nasty, because you just mentioned it there. But I remember we did the game. I think Adrian was away maybe last season. We did the game between Dundalk and Drogheda at Oriel last year, and you had said to me, Gary Deegan is actually a sort of player that Dundalk are crying out for. Do you still think that's the case? They need someone like him in the centre midfield?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Chris Shields was that player for years. He hasn't been replaced. They've lots of good players, don't get me wrong. There's lots of good footballing players. But they haven't got that someone who's just going to, when needs be, grab your own player and say, listen, this isn't good enough. And just demand more. I think, I don't know if yourself or Adrian or someone, if you ask Google to do a defensive midfielder, Deegan won't be too far away from what pops out. No. And I mean, it's simple what he does in terms of he'll get it, he'll keep them, he's always an option, but it's his passion, it's his determination, he inspires those around him.
Yeah.
He lets the likes of Darren Markey and Dale Rooney go and express themselves, because, you know, we have that safety blanket. And I mean, you've got to give the man credit. I mean, he's older than me. But he's in fantastic shape, and he's just a leader.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been brilliant. Listen, John, it's been absolutely fantastic. It's 10 to 4 already. Where did that hour go? But it's been brilliant having you in. We'll have to get yourself and Paul in some other time. We might have to go for 2 hours on that occasion. But thanks, John Flanagan, so much for popping in. It's been great having you.
LMFM Sunday Sport.
With thanks to the LMFM app. Download for free now and take us with you everywhere you go.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.